Now, another chapter or two in the continuing battles pitting software giant Microsoft against tiny software companies, angry citizens, and the entire European Union. This week, the European Union ruled that Microsoft, whose Windows software accounts for over 90% of the operating systems around the world, has abused its, quote, near monopoly position in Europe. As such, the EU said it would impose a fine of over $600 million on the company and force it to make changes to Windows that would make it easier for competitive software to be made more visible, become an easier option on the Windows desktop. And at the same time, almost lost in the glare of international headlines, is another suit against Microsoft, a little closer to home. It's a class action suit in Minnesota by a group of users who claim they have been overcharged when purchasing the Windows operating system. Joining me now to talk about all of this is Christy Heim. She's the Seattle Bureau Chief of the San Jose Mercury News. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you, Ira. Glad to be here.
Is $600 million a lot of money?
It's not. It's about 2 weeks of Microsoft operating costs or operating income, and I don't think it's really much at all to this large company.
So then where is the penalty for Microsoft here?
Well, I think the penalty is actually that it will create somewhat of a speed bump to the company's operations going forward and to their strategy of simply being able to put products into the Windows operating system without any sort of restrictions. But I think it's a speed bump rather than a stop sign, really.
Yeah, because let's look at the history. Netscape used to be the dominant web browser, and then Microsoft set its sights on that. And now we have the Explorer. Word took the place of WordPerfect, which was the dominant one. And now, you know, you hear Microsoft talking about taking on real networks and QuickTime, and then some dominating, you know, the search engines like Google. Is this forward-looking enough that it will put a little speed bump in the way of that happening?
Yeah, as you said, Microsoft has really big ambitions. It definitely wants to go into the search space. You know, it's expanding from the desktop of the computer system into an array of different areas, and all those potentially could be areas where, you know, it will dominate and take the place of smaller companies that have been there or that also want to compete. But I think, having said that, although this European decision actually lays sort of a groundwork for looking at those kinds of claims, each one will have to be put forth on its own merits. So really, in case of search or something new, I think a company will have to complain on its own and argue the case on its own. This can't really be a template for anything, because the way antitrust law works is, you know, you have to outline the evidence and show that Microsoft is breaking the law in a new area. So I don't think this is a broad template for just any behavior going forward.
But it has laid the groundwork saying that they've broken the law.
That's exactly right, and previous cases have not done that. Microsoft actually settled with the U.S. Department of Justice and a number of U.S. states and didn't admit any wrongdoing. So in that regard, this is very historic. This is an important precedent. On the other hand, we really don't know, since we've only seen a three-page press release instead of the 300-page document that the EC has prepared. So it's a little hard to provide a detailed analysis yet. But I think the decision is very critical and will be used by a lot of competitors going forward.
Why was the European Union so much more forthcoming in its ruling as opposed to the American court system?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons, really. I think you have to kind of look back at the history where under the Clinton administration, Janet Reno chose to go after Microsoft and bring a case against Microsoft very aggressively. Now, that case, a lot of the findings in that case still stand, but the Court of Appeals actually rejected or remanded some of the judge's findings that, for example, Microsoft be broken up. That was a pretty harsh remedy, and that was actually rejected later on. Then, when it came time to actually come to a settlement, we had a new administration, and Attorney General John Ashcroft has had different priorities. So, actually, the settlement itself was, you know, in many people's eyes, much milder than the original remedies were.
We're going to take a short break. We're talking with Christy Heim, Seattle Bureau Chief for the San Jose Mercury News, about Microsoft ruling. Our number 1-800-989-8255. We're going to take a short break, come back, see if we can grab a few of your phone calls, and talk more about the Microsoft EU case. So stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking about the EU's ruling against Microsoft with my guest, Christy Heim, who is the Seattle Bureau Chief for the San Jose Mercury News. Our number 1-800-989-8255. So no one really views this as any sort of, as you say, it's just a little bump in the road for Microsoft rolling on.
Well, it certainly will cause Microsoft, I think, to try to go through an analysis of its moves going forward to see whether they really create any problems, particularly if this case sticks. Now, Microsoft plans to appeal it,
right,
and this appeal could last for years. But if the findings actually stick, then I think it will make Microsoft analyze its strategy a little bit more carefully to make sure that what it's doing doesn't go through the same problems as the commission says Windows Media Player did. So I think it will probably have some effect, but I don't think it will really impede the whole business strategy much.
Could it be that Microsoft will have to possibly make a different version of Windows for Europe than for the U.S.?
Well, that's what this commission has required. Microsoft will try to get this remedy stayed or suspended. We'll probably know within a few months whether it's able to do that. And if it isn't, then yes, it will have to introduce a different version of Windows for Europe, which doesn't have its Windows Media Player in it.
What happens in this day and age is that the court cases outlast the software.
That's exactly it. That's happened time and time again. I think the Competition Commissioner in Europe, Mario Monti, wanted to try to lay a precedent that would, you know, would actually have some future relevance, and it remains to be seen whether it will. But it is an analysis that went a little bit further than what the U.S. Court of Appeals did, in that it basically took this feature that Microsoft was adding to Windows, it analyzed it, and it weighed whether it had more benefits to consumers or more potential harm to competition. And what the commissioner said is, you know, the competition harm was too great, therefore the tying is illegal. So in that regard, it does kind of advance, you know, the legal precedent, although the precedent in Europe doesn't really apply to the U.S.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you know, some companies can use the evidence to make their cases against Microsoft here in, for example, a civil case. And in fact, Real Networks does say that they plan to use some of it to bolster their court case against Microsoft in the U.S.
Now, what is this class action suit that's going on in Minnesota by citizens who they've been overcharged for buying Windows?
Right. They accuse Microsoft of overcharging them for the Windows operating system, and Microsoft, they accuse of using its monopoly position to overcharge them by about $400 million. So they're seeking these damages, and I guess it's roughly 10 million software licenses between 94 and 2001.
Wow, that could be substantial money if they, or they could appeal this until everybody's too old to collect also.
Yeah, it's not really clear whether this will be a substantial hit financially.
I
doubt it, really. I mean,
yeah,
it's not much to Microsoft with $53 billion in cash reserves. But on the other hand, it does show that they are emboldened and they keep hammering rather than settling. I think in the case of California, California consumers settled their class action lawsuit against Microsoft, and they have maybe another month or so to file claims, but only a very small number of people eligible for them have bothered to file claims. So, you know, I don't think that will be a major hit to Microsoft either.
All right, let me see if I can get one or two calls in before I have to say goodbye. Let's go to a San Antonio. Hi, Roger.
How are you?
Hi.
Yeah, I guess my comment is I've been developing since I was 12, and that was 1979. So I've worked with Microsoft since the early 90s, and I was actually supportive of the U.S. judge who wanted to actually split up the company between the operating system and the application development, because I've already seen so many abuses that they have done, not just with companies that are obvious like IBM and Apple, but also within companies that I have worked for. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I found funny was one of the companies I worked for, just a short time after I started working there, we had to have a legal agreement between Microsoft just to use one of their products, and it was like a 10-page legal document, which, of course, my company said, no, we weren't going to do that. But I guess I'm just kind of glad that the EU kind of stepped up the plate and did something that the United States would not do.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Any comment, Christy?
Well, you know, I think that...
Is that something you hear often in Silicon Valley there, developers?
Yes, it is. It is a popular sentiment in Silicon Valley that, you know, some court somewhere really ought to do something to restrain Microsoft's monopoly. On the other hand, you see a real political football here because already there's a number of politicians opposing this, being very vocal about it, saying that it will hurt the tech industry and so forth. So I think it's going to be a very interesting case to watch, both politically and from a technology industry perspective.
Well, Christy, I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us.
You're very welcome.
And we'll be watching this along with you. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Christy Heim is the Seattle Bureau Chief for the San Jose Mercury News.